the two scripture passages that you heard today are difficult passages to hear. There's judgment in them. There's failure in them. They are passages that deal with disobedience and its consequence. It's difficult to read those passages of Scripture and not to be concerned for your own faith walk. Because there are so many times when we are disobedient as well. I want to look at these passages from all of the contexts, but I also want us to recognize that found in them is not just a warning, but it's also a recognition of what God is calling the church to become. We may not be it yet, but God continues to lead us along the path to be that which God intends us to be. Once we are like God in the ways that God seeks us to be, then the world will be able to follow what God has called us all to become. Now, I want to begin by saying that the first step in any task, whether it's divine or human, is showing up. We sometimes take this for granted. But I would propose to you today that within the church, it's something we've forgotten. Throughout the United States, attendance numbers in church are radically down. And it's a trend that has been continuing for about 30 years. We have seen the percentage of Americans going to church on any given Sunday drop to what it is currently, which is hovering around 15 to 17%. Now, just for those of you who don't have a calculator on hand, that means that over 80% of your peers and your neighbors are not in worship this weekend. That is horrible attendance. Now, we think that that is a reflection on the church. But it would be easy if it were. The problem is that this is a reflection on God as well as the church. Now, when I was growing up, we were told that the bare minimum that was expected of us as faithful Christians is showing up. Some of us were told that showing up didn't even guarantee that we were actually in when it came to salvation. You know, there were pastors in the evangelical movement who would do this kind of medical school, first day of medical school, you know, thing where he'd say, look to your right and look to your left. When you get to heaven, one of those people won't be there. Kind of this understanding that the least that you can do is go to church. Unfortunately, we're not doing the least. What do you do about that? What do we do when the faithfulness of a people is diminishing? Well, the scriptures today have given us two stories about that. The first one, the gospel, a story from Jesus. Jesus tells a parable that would have resonated with the people of God at the time. He tells a parable of the king inviting all of those wealthy and prosperous people to a wedding feast, a banquet, something that they should have wanted to be seen at. Okay? Being invited to the king's banquet would be like walking the red carpet on Oscar night. It was something that you would be honored to do. And yet, they decided that they had other things to do with their lives. They were busy. They had other tasks. They had other obligations. And some of them, frankly, just were too tired to get moving. Have you ever had that kind of day? I've had lots of them. You look at your social calendar and you realize that doing something with other people is just too taxing and too difficult. So you stay home. You have to give an excuse, so you give one. Like Kermit here, my sister's friends, mothers, grandpas, brothers, grandsons, uncles, fish died. And I can't make it. If you have nothing or something better to do, then what's happened is you've taken a choice. You have a different set of priorities. Now, priorities are very important in our life today, because we all have them, but few of us recognize what they really are. Let me make it clear. Your priorities are what you do. Your priorities aren't established by your ideas, but your priorities are established by your actions. When you act in a particular way, you are revealing your priorities. Some people don't realize that. Some people think that their priorities are the things that they cognitively believe or think. But the reality is that priorities have a way of getting beyond really the cognitive aspect of our lives. Our priorities are revealed because they're the things that we do. I want to lose weight, but my priorities is to eat what I want. Right? I want to be faithful, but my priority is to sleep in. You see, at some point what we do, at some point the actions that we take represent an unspoken priority in our lives. And few of us really are willing to dig in deep and to call it what it is. We get it wrong. And when our priorities are wrong, then our choices are bad. And when our choices are bad, then our actions are evil. You see, when our priorities are misplaced, when our primary love isn't God, isn't family, then what happens is we get twisted by that, because our priorities shape our choices, and our choices determine our actions. And before you know it, we've been invited by the King to the great marriage feast of the Lamb of God, and we say, I've got something better to do. And we miss out on the important things, on the things that we cognitively believe are our priorities, because we have fallen into what the Bible refers to as idolatry. We have conformed not to God, but to the world. And when we conform to the world, it's when we become like the world, which leads us to our story from the Old Testament. You see, God had asked Moses to come up to receive the Ten Commandments and to pray at the mountain of God. And Moses said to the people, just wait, I'll be back. Now, what Moses didn't expect was that the people of Israel would engage in an 80s teenage movie. Parents being away, and they were going to hold a party and invite all their friends. And that's exactly what they did. They didn't do what their parents had taught them. They didn't do what God had instructed. They actually began by breaking almost all of the commandments that God had given them. But it was something deeper than what we tend to see. You see, we see the revelry and we see the sacred cow, but most of us don't know what the sacred cow really was. You see, Israel, we all remember always seemed to want to go back to Egypt after they'd been freed. But it didn't take the wilderness to do it. They wanted to go back to Egypt almost immediately after they left. None of them wanted to follow God. And when Moses was gone, we don't know whether it was 12 hours or 12 days. It doesn't really matter. But almost immediately after he was gone, the people of God started longing for what they knew. And what they knew was Egypt and Egypt's gods. You see, the Apis bull was actually the primary and oldest god of the Egyptians. The bull was a sign of the god. And if you look at it, the bull's horns had the circle of Horus, the god, inside. That bull, that calf, was what they built, what they fashioned out of their gold. You see, your first love is where you not only spend your time, it's also where you spend your money. Everything that you have, you're willing to give to that which you love, that which you prioritize, that which you seek to be like. You see, by building the calf, by worshiping the god, they were going back to what the worldview of their time believed. Now, I always find it interesting because the Apis bull was actually the sign of prosperity and fruitfulness. And you know what? We're not that different. This is on Wall Street. You know what a bull market is. It's what we want, right? We still want the bull of prosperity. And we believe that that is the sign of God's blessing to us. You see, we have a hard time understanding that God's love transcends whether we do well or not. We haven't changed that much. Some of our symbols remain the same. Some of our attitudes remain the same. It is still difficult for us to choose, to prioritize, and to know what's real. Let me tell you something. In these two stories, we see that there is indeed a choice to be made. Do we say yes to the world, or do we say yes to God? Do we say yes to the understanding of the priorities that our lives bring us? And you know what? Our lives have priorities that are important. There are things that do get in the way. But only having proper priorities will we be able to know which ones are idols and which ones are harmless aspects of life. You see, when we don't question it, when we don't literally work out our salvation in fear and trembling, as Paul writes, then what happens is we accept everything as more important. And that's kind of where we are today, isn't it? There's very little that's less important than our schedule, than our purpose. And I'm not speaking about you. I'm speaking about me. You see, I want to be successful. I want all of the things that the world gives. And every day I struggle against the idolatries that are out there because they're attractive. They're important to us. And for many of us in a Facebook-centered world, they evaluate who we are and whether we're successful. If we don't live like our friends live, then we feel like we must have done something wrong. Who do you conform to? When you say yes to your own priorities, you're going to have to be willing to say no to something else. And this is the difficult statement that we find in the idolatry of Israel with the golden calf and with the parable of the wedding banquet. In order to say yes to God, we have to say no to something else. And this is even worse yet. There's consequences to saying yes to the wrong thing. You see, it's not just about showing up. It would be great if showing up was the only thing. Remember what I said at the beginning of the sermon? The first task is showing up. But it's not the last. At some point, after you show up, you have to conform yourself to God. If showing up were enough, then me devoting 25 years of my life to Christian ministry would be enough, right? I don't just show up. This is what I've chosen to do with my life. And yet every day I deal with the idolatries of the world. I deal with the aphis bulls in my life. I deal with saying no to things in order that I might say yes to God. And God help me, sometimes I say yes to the things I should say no to. It's who we are. It's how we live. And it's still a dangerous place for us to be. In the parable of Jesus, in the Gospel of Matthew, there's a kind of a tag at the end of it where the king shows up and finds a person that's not dressed appropriate for a wedding feast. It's kind of a weird aspect of it. Because we thought, good, everyone's in. But the problem is that person, the person who showed up but didn't show up with proper respect, didn't conform to what God's expectations, to what the king's expectations were, that person was taken by the ear and thrown into the street. That bothers me. Because I've been dancing at the party for a long time. And sometimes I wonder whether I'm wearing the right clothes. We have to ask ourselves, have we made a choice that has changed our lives? The people of Israel crossed the Red Sea. They killed the calves and they killed the sheep and they put the blood on the door. They experienced the movement of God, and then when given a little idle time, they went nuts and wanted to run back to Egypt. Have you ever gone back to Egypt? People of God, the world needs you. And they need you to be committed to Christ always. I'm appreciative of all you do. I'm appreciative of the lives that you live and the faithfulness that you show. But I'm telling you that the world is going to ask you every day to choose. Because you know what? They don't stop asking. They don't stop trying to woo you back. The church is much more polite than the world is. Right? When we go to someone's house, we knock on their door and we say, would you like to come to church? If they say no, we don't go back. Do we? We say, we're going to be polite. We're not going to ask them again. We've asked them. They know. We'll leave a card at the door. But the world doesn't act like that, does it? The world gets in your house every day. The world seduces your kids. The world asks you over and over and over again. They won't stop. They're perseverant. We've got to be perseverant too. In love, in care, and in a recognition that, you know what? If they don't get to the party, that speaks to their eternal soul. For those who worship the fatted calf, who worship the golden idol, they are not going to inherit the kingdom of God. This is serious stuff. And the church has to acknowledge it and has to live in it. There are consequences to our priorities. There are consequences to our choices. There are consequences to our actions. And it's time to make that decision. Choose this day whom you will serve. The follower of Moses, Joshua, shared that. After they had walked through catastrophe after catastrophe, after they'd been 40 days through the wilderness, after they had finally gotten to the promised land of God, after Jericho and after battles, Joshua got them to their home and he said, "Choose this day." Now, if I'm in the audience, one of the things I would say is, what do you mean choose this day? We've been choosing for 40 years. No. Our choices are daily. Every day that I wake up, I choose to follow Jesus. Every day I wake up, I choose to love my family. Because you know what? There are people who wake up and they choose to do other. Choose this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I ask that you would follow me in this, that you'd make the deep commitment to Jesus Christ as Lord, as Savior, and as priority in your life. This is not something that I can judge. This is something that you know. And if you feel God is calling you to a deeper connection in Jesus Christ, to a deeper decision, then today is indeed a day of decision. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, today is the day to choose. If you've accepted Jesus as Savior, but you've left it there, you've entered into the home, but you don't know if you're wearing the right clothes. You don't know. You think that every day you can be pulled away. You don't feel like you're confirmed and that you're solid in Jesus. Choose this day. If God has called you to something deeper and you've said no, because you were afraid, choose this day. But make Jesus your priority. As we conclude with a prayer and as we sing our final hymn, I would ask that you would make that choice in the silence of your heart. If you'd want that to be reflected to the front, then come forward. We'll pray together. Because daily we seek God's movement in our lives. Daily by our actions, we show the world our choice, and we proclaim our priorities. Lord God, we ask your blessing upon these people and upon our choices. Lord God, help us to be the people of God, a people of God who will serve you, a people of God who will make you the number one priority in our lives, not simply because we seek salvation, but because we seek your glory in all things. Help us to glorify your holy name in each individual life and collectively as First Baptist Church, so the glory of the Lord will go into the world and so that the world might know Jesus Christ is Lord and the grace of God experienced in his Lordship. We ask your blessing upon the people and the work that we continue to do as we seek to do your work and follow your will. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the people of God said, Amen. Amen. Let's sing our final hymn, The Longer I Serve Him.